Central Jersey Talk Radio, Central Jersey 1450, WCTC with the Restaurant Guys. Call them now at 732-545-9282. 732-545-9282.
Hello, everybody, and good morning. You are listening to the Restaurant Guys. I'm Mark Pascal, and I'm here with Francis Schott. Together, we own Stage Left and Catherine Lombardi Restaurants in New Brunswick, New Jersey. We're here to give you the inside track on food, wine, and the finer things in life. You can listen to us every day from 11 to noon. Reach us through restaurantguysradio.com or download our podcast on iTunes.
Hey there, Mark. How are you this morning?
Hey, I'm good, Francis. How are you?
I'm well indeed. I'm getting a little feedback on my microphone, but I'm well indeed. I want to talk about, we have Thanksgiving coming up soon, and I just want to make a mention that we have Thanksgiving dinners available at Stage Left and Catherine Lombardi Restaurants. You can find out about that by calling 732-828-4444, and we have a couple of wonderful adult evenings planned for the Saturday and
thereafter.
Sunday following. We have a wine tasting that Sunday at Catherine Lombardi, and we have a wine dinner of wines 10 years old or older that Saturday night at Stage Left.
So the wine tasting's fun. You're going to taste 30 or 40 different wines, and some of them, most of them will be available for purchase.
And you can go to stageleft.com or KatherineLombardi.com or call 828-4444 to find out about that. Okay, time to make fun of another restaurant.
Yesterday we started to talk about this week's New York Times review, which was about the Lonesome Dove. A restaurant that has opened a few locations throughout the country, but opened in New York City not that long ago.
You know, it is a shame that, and fortunately we've never received one, and I would hate to ever receive one, but when you get the no-star review, you got to read it. The two reviews you got to read are the no-star review and the four-star review.
Yep.
And you're going to forget the four-star review before you forget the no-star review.
That's funny because there was a three-star review of Pichelin last week. Yeah, we didn't talk
about
it.
But it's good. Great restaurant.
It was a great restaurant. Beautiful review. We didn't talk about it. You know, there was a couple of two-star reviews the weeks before that.
I remember, though.
We didn't talk about it.
But I remember the no-star review of the Ninja restaurant in Manhattan.
You remember that, too, our listening audience, because we talked about it for about a half hour.
Well, here's another stupid idea. The Lonesome Dove Western Bistro opens in Manhattan. This is the Texas restaurant where the chefs wear cowboy hats. Right. Manhattan. Okay, if I was in Texas, or if I were in Texas, let me read to you. You don't have to walk into this restaurant to get a sense of the way whimsy and overworked motif triumph over good judgment at this restaurant. That's really a bad thing to have in the first paragraph. Let me read on.
Whimsy's not so bad.
There on the sidewalk.
Whimsy's not a horrible word.
When it overtakes good judgment.
That's.
There on the sidewalk outside the restaurant, there's the rustler's riff on a red carpet. It lay a brown and white steer's hide. As might be expected, passersby trampled on it.
Only problem is, it's in New York City.
As could be predicted, a downpour drenched it. I arrived one night last month to find this hairy and scary welcome mat plastered to the ground, mottled with dirt, and squishy with water. Roadkill after a rainstorm. Welcome to the Lonesome Dove. You know, it was in New York. I'm surprised it wasn't stolen.
Yeah, I would have just figured somebody would have just picked it up, wrapped it around themselves, and
speaking of train wrecks, okay.
Took it to keep themselves warm.
We go on to say that the mistakes don't stop at the front door. The cooks wear wide-brimmed cowboy hats. Okay, that's just stupid. Frank Bruni calls it contemporary cowpoke cuisine. It's Wild West meets the Outback.
Hold on. Contemporary cowpoke cuisine.
He calls it Wild West meets the Outback and makes for something maybe even you might want to call Brokeback. Oh, my.
Brokenback restaurant.
He talks about
ouch.
He talks about the kangaroo on the menu, the marsupial nachos for trailblazing diners that are more interesting
that
in theory.
That sounds so disgusting.
That are more interesting in theory than reality. Now, look, this is what we want to talk about. More interesting in theory than reality. Antelope ribs, shellacked with what tasted like a fairly conventional barbecue sauce. Look, it's an idea.
Yeah, don't cook just for the shtick of it, okay?
Right,
not the purpose of having something on your menu is because it's interesting or it's new or maybe it's tried and true and you make it spectacularly. But don't put something on your menu because it sounds cool.
When a restaurant comes out with the gimmicky thing, Okay, and look, I'm not saying that having kangaroo is gimmicky, but it's unusual. When you throw down a, when you do that, you throw down a gauntlet. You say, I'm stepping outside what you expect, and I'm going to deliver you something that is...
will surprise and amaze you.
Yes, and but you better do it well. Just doing different isn't good if your different is lousy.
If your different stinks.
You're right.
We don't want different.
I'm going to play the violin with my toes. It's going to sound like crap, but I can play the violin with my toes. Who cares? Now, if you can play the violin with your toes and do Bach's double violin concerto in D minor... I'm impressed. You know what I'm saying? Oh, my goodness. When it comes to flavors and ingredients, Mr. Love, he's the owner. Mr. Love's idea of a festive hoedown may strike you as a bruising slam dance. The restaurant's original is in Fort Worth. But it's like, it's all for shtick. A few years ago, this guy came to New York to accept an award. He rode a horse part of the way. The part of the way where the cameras were following him,
yeah,
and then
exactly.
He got back in his car.
And then he said, somebody take this horse away from me, quickly. I don't know what to do with it. I'm in New York City.
Oh, he comes out, at the Lonesome Dove, he comes out when you order the grilled tomahawk chop, and he carves it himself, tableside. I think they also ring a bell, like when you order the belly buster, you know? This is a bone-in ribeye for two, accompanied by a lobster tail and two scallops as large as tennis balls. Sadly, when Frank Bruni had this, when I had the medley of surf and turf, the scallops were undercooked and the lobster was interestingly overcooked.
Sometimes
just to mix it up, I guess.
You know, do you ever go to a restaurant and you don't quite get it? You're like, my mashed potatoes are cold and my plate is hot and my fish is overcooked. How'd you do that?
Well, you know,
sometimes you gotta wonder when you go into a restaurant. You just have to wonder.
You know, I went with my niece when she was like 15 years old or 14 years old. She took me to that Mars 2012 restaurant.
Oh, a kids restaurant. Kids
and a monster served me my nachos. I was like, you know, I knew I was in trouble then. You know, I think you're looking for the same thing at Lonesome Dove.
You're
they
getting...
could combine the two restaurants. They could have the cowboys versus the monsters.
Alien versus predator theme. Nice. That's definitely gonna work.
But you know when a monster serves your nachos that you're not in a serious restaurant. And I think you know when you're in New York City and the line cooks are wearing cowboy hats, you're probably the same thing. Because you know what, in Texas, the line cooks don't wear cowboy hats. Everybody else does.
Remember, and I guess this is just really the point. If you're going to a theme restaurant, you're going for the show.
Right.
Don't intend to go for the food.
Unless it's L'Atelier de Joel Robuchon, where it's the food-themed restaurant.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what we try to run.
Food-themed restaurant. Because that's what a themed restaurant is, okay? It's a show. It's a play, or it's just a show.
Or a commercial.
Or a commercial. Yeah, sometimes it's commercial to sell something.
Or a joke.
But when you go to these themed restaurants, you're going to a play. Hopefully it's a good play, at least.
I got to give you the one thing that...
But you're not going,
I gotta
you're
give
not
you the
going
one
for
thing,
food.
I would go for this one thing that he talks about that Bruni actually liked. And this is the Lonesome Dove, 29 West 21st Street in Chelsea. Mr. Love has an admirable way of encouraging you to get your hands dirty, an advertised appetizer of prairie butter. Turned out to be the femur bones of buffalo, split lengthwise to permit easy access to the marrow, which you could then slather on thick slices of grilled bread. Yes. This I will go for. I may stop in just for the femurs. And vegetarians, the hate mail address is francis@restaurantguysradio.com. Back in just a moment with folk singer Christine Lavin and her new CD and cook booklet entitled One Meatball. You're listening to the Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:15. Hello, everybody, and welcome back. You're listening to the Restaurant Guys, Mark and Francis of Stage Left and Catherine Lombardi Restaurants in downtown New Brunswick, New Jersey. Today, our guest is Christine Lavin. Christine Lavin is an influential singer, songwriter, performer, folk musician. She has 17 solo albums to her credit. She's won 2 New York Music Awards, 7 ASCAP Performer Awards, the Kate Wolf Memorial Award, and the 2001 Backstage Bistro Award for Outstanding New York Singer, Songwriter of the Year. She's been featured on Good Morning America and The Today Show, and she joins us today to talk about her recently released album and cookbooklet, One Meatball.
Christine Lavin, welcome to the show.
Hi, guys.
It is great to have you. I have to say, this is the most interesting thing I've ever seen. We've been in the food business a long time. We're relatively jaded, and this is the first time we've ever encountered a CD and cookbooklet.
CD cookbooklet. Nice job.
You want to tell?
I'm so thrilled that you like it.
I love it. You want to tell people about what it is? Because I'm looking at it. I'm amazed.
Okay. Well, it's a compilation album that has 19 songs that all have to do with food in one way or another, and each song has a corresponding recipe that's in the little cookbooklet part of it. Plus, we added some bonus recipes just to really flesh it out.
I'm going to be honest with you. I bought it for the CD, not for the recipes.
Now, I'm amazed, and I saw it as sort of a novelty little thing, but you have some pretty big names on this project with you. You're a big name yourself, of course, but Pete Seeger performs on track number 2. I mean, that's big stuff.
Yeah, I feel very lucky. When I got the idea to do this, I decided just to work on it as long as it took. There was no deadline. I had no record label involved. I just wanted it to sort of find its own way, and so I started asking specific artists whose music I really loved to either write something for it, or if I knew a food song that they had that I wanted that specific song. And it took about almost 2.5 years to bring it all together, but I feel like it's kind of a magical little project because it kind of figured itself out.
Well, I can tell you that there aren't really a lot of great songs around food, because Francis and I were looking for a theme song when we were doing the starting the radio
and
show.
And of course, we settled on Green Onions, which has no words, yeah, but it's still called Green Onions.
And we just struggled to find one that fit the show.
Well, you know, one of the people on this record, this is another magical thing that happened. His name is Alan Michelli. He is a pastry chef who's a guitarist at night and a pastry chef by day. And he opened a show for me when I played on Salt Spring Island, which is a tiny island off Vancouver Island in Canada. And that's one of the great things that happened, that we somehow were booked together when I had this idea in my head of doing this. And after I heard him play, I said, "Hey, I'm doing this record that's all food songs." And I said to him, because he just does instrumentals, I said, "By any chance, do you have an instrumental that has a food in the title?" And if he didn't, what I was going to do is take one of the songs of his and change the title. But then
you were going to cheat.
But it wasn't necessary, because he has a song called Mocha Java, which was just perfect. Because one of the things I learned, because I took so much time making this, that you can't have too many food songs in a row without starting to feel a little full. So I think of Mocha Java as kind of a palate cleanser.
Christine, I got to tell you, I can't have too many food songs in a row without feeling hungry.
Oh.
Which is just the opposite. Now, I used to be a big, in my younger and more vulnerable years, I used to be a big, I was a big folk music fan. I sort of caught the end of the club that I know that you know very well, Folk City in Manhattan was there.
Yeah.
I saw everybody there from Harry Chapin to my last person I saw there was Suzanne Vega, who was like the new generation of. But you worked with a guy named, and the title track of the album is with a guy named Dave Van Ronk. The late Dave Van Ronk. The title track is One Meatball by Dave Van Ronk. Well, tell us about your relationship with him and this song and how that got in here.
Well, I met him in it was the mid-1970s when I was a waitress and a bread baker at the Cafe Lena in Saratoga Springs. He was just passing through, and the same day I met Dave, Don McLean's manager saw me play and said, "You should come to New York, but you should learn how to play guitar better." And he gave me his card. And that night I met Dave Van Ronk, and he said, "You should come to New York." I said, "I will when I learn how to play guitar better." He said, "I'm a teacher. I'll teach you."
That's funny, because people say, "You should learn how to do radio shows better than us all the time. You'd be really good if you were better at it."
We also can do food. We just can't, you know, our talents are therefore limited. But he was a pretty important figure in the folk movement in the 50s and 60s.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, now that the American Masters did that whole big thing about Bob Dylan, Van Ronk is all over it, because he was a huge influence on Dylan. He actually had Dylan sleeping on his couch, and he taught him songs, and he really took him under his wing. And unfortunately, Dave died in February 2002. And one of the reasons why we did this project, Dave, his dream was to win a Grammy. And his very final concert had been nominated for a Grammy, and I even went with his widow to L.A. for the Grammys, and it didn't win. Mm. And I was shocked and upset, because usually dying is a good career move where the Grammys are concerned.
Yeah, yeah.
But your artwork goes up, you're likely to win a Grammy or an Oscar.
I know, it's crazy. But he didn't win. So when I got this idea, this guy named Keith Newman, who's a radio host in Athens, Ohio, when I was just talking about, you know, what I wanted to do, he's the one who said, hey, you got to have Van Ronk in this. And I said, of course.
All right. We're going to take a short break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to play for you Dave Van Ronk's version of One Meatball with a little bit of explanation from him from this latest compilation and cookbook by Christine Lavin. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:25.
Today we are proud to present Jackie Naylor.
Once upon a time, New Year's Eve was a night for swank jazz, champagne, and caviar. Ring in 2007 at just such a gathering with us. The Restaurant Guys present a New Year's Eve jazz concert at the Crossroads Theater starring Ms. Jackie Naylor. Jackie's been called the new voice of jazz by Vogue magazine. Jazz Times says, in the never-ending Next Big Thing sweepstakes, bet on Jackie Naylor. She's headlined internationally. She's played with Michael McDonald and David Sanborn. And on New Year's Eve, she'll play to a sold-out crowd at the Crossroads Theater right next to our restaurants. Dine before or after the show at either one of our acclaimed restaurants. There are hotel accommodations within walking distance. One of the best jazz singers in the country. Two of the best restaurants in the state. An evening not to be forgotten. Go to stageleft.com or Catherine Lombardi.com for details, reservations, and menus, or call 732-828-4444. Put the swank back in New Year's Eve. Spend it with the Restaurant Guys. Hey, everybody. Welcome back. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Mark and Francis of Stage Left and Catherine Lombardi Restaurant. We were talking, Christine, about One Meatball, which is the title track of your compilation CD and cookbooklet, which you are going to, which you can find on our website, restaurantguysradio.com. Christine, you're going to be performing at the South Orange Performing Arts Center on Saturday, November the 18th, and people can find out about how to get tickets to that at soapacknow.com or at restaurantguysradio.com. In this compilation CD and cookbooklet, you actually have some songs that have the you sing the recipe. That's pretty weird, don't you think?
No! See, I've been doing that for a couple years. I have a recipe for pâte à pain au chocolat, which takes 10.5 hours from start to finish. And
to sing or to make?
No, to make.
Oh. See, Francis, there's stuff you don't know about me.
Yeah.
And, like, I make up, well, you know that I make up songs all the time.
Yeah.
But if I have to memorize something, you know, I will actually create a little song for me, much like they did on Cheers with the Albania. Remember that?
Oh.
Remember that Cheers episode?
Freak.
So I do that all the time.
Freak.
You know, that's how it happened. I was going to the grocery store and I was memorizing in my head what the ingredients were, and I sort of made them rhyme, and I thought, there's a song there. And I gave out about 10,000 copies of the pâte à pain au chocolat recipe, but that's too complicated for most people to try. So my recipe is French toast bread pudding.
Extraordinary. Well, we're going to listen to your track, French Toast Bread Pudding, at the end of the segment.
Okay.
But right now I want to play, because there's more than one recipe sung on the compilation CD and cookbooklet by Christine Lavin, One Meatball. Again, go to our website, restaurantguysradio.com, and you can find out where to see her, where to get your own copy of the CD and cookbooklet. But for now, let's just listen to a recipe for fudge by Robin Hooper.
Take a little butter, a third of a cup. You dump it in a bowl and then you cover it up with 3 cups of chocolate chips and use the good kind. Top it with a can of sweet thick milk. You nuke it in the microwave until it's like silk. Well, come on in and take your shoes off. I'll make you some fudge.
You're listening to The Restaurant Guys. We're talking with Christine Lavin about her album and cookbooklet, One Meatball. We'll be back after the news. Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:30.
Central Jersey Talk Radio, Central Jersey 1450, WCTC with the Restaurant Guys. Call them now at 732-545-9282. 732-545-9282.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back. You are listening to the Restaurant Guys. I'm Mark Pascal here with Francis Schott. Together we own Stage Left and Catherine Lombardi Restaurants in New Brunswick, New Jersey. We're here to give you the inside track on food, wine, and the finer things in life. You can listen to us every day
from 11 to noon. Reach us through restaurantguysradio.com or download our podcasts on iTunes.
Today our guest is Christine Lavin. She's the influential singer, songer, folk writer, performer who has come out with a compilation CD. It's an album and cookbooklet called One Meatball. And Christine, you're going to be performing in South Orange at the brand new South Orange Performing Arts Center.
Yeah, I'm going to be there with the Accidentals and Julie Gault, Ray Jessel, and Liz McNamara, who are also on the record. And at intermission, we're going to have a dessert buffet.
Is it going to be desserts from the cookbooklet?
Yeah, we're going to have, three or four different desserts.
Okay, now that's this Saturday, November the 18th, at the South Orange Performing Arts Center, which is the inaugural evening was this week?
Yeah, it's brand new. It just opened.
Well, I want to go back to, we were talking about before the news and we didn't have enough time to play it. You have a version of One Meatball, which is the title track to the album, by a guy named Dave Van Ronk, who's a very important folk singer. And I think just to give people a flavor of the album, maybe we can play a little bit of it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, all right, great.
It's a classic.
Here's One Meatball with a little intro by Dave Van Ronk.
But it turns out the song originates back in the 1850s, when it began. Well, it started out as an Italian comic one-act opera called Una Pesce Balla, which means the lone fish ball. And there it was, happily untranslated, until there was a dinner party at the home of Henry Wadsworth Longfellow in Cambridge, Massachusetts. And at this dinner party was not only Longfellow, but James Russell Lowell and Francis James Child, the collector of the Child ballads. The three of them proceeded to get drunk and wrote this song based on the Italian Una Pesce Balla. A little man walked up and down, found an eating place in town. Looked the menu through and through to see what 15 cents could do. One meatball, he could afford but one meatball. He told the waiter near at hand simple dinner he had planned. Well, the guest was startled, one and all, to hear that waiter loudly call, one meatball, if this here jet was one meatball. The little man felt ill at ease, said some bread, sir, if you please, will the waiter hollered, down the hall, you get no bread with one meatball, one meatball, one meatball.
That was pretty cool.
You know, Dave's recipe goes along with the song. It's for chicken kofta, which is a really, really spicy one meatball. We got it from his widow, Andrea Vuokalo, but Andrea is a vegetarian, so she had never actually eaten it.
You know, there's something sort of basically human about food and music and love and sex and all that stuff. Is that part of your social commentary here, or am I overthinking it?
Well, I think that there's, you know, folk music is really basically sort of homemade music, and homemade food and homemade music really go together very well. In the front of the book, I say, you know, call up your friends, make these recipes, put on the record and listen to it. And I'm really amazed. I just kind of put that in there as a, you know, suggestion, not realizing that people would actually do it, but they are doing it.
Now, we know about working on cookbooks. Are these recipes actually tested? Did you actually cook these things out?
Yeah, most of the recipes are like family recipes that the artists, you know, got from their moms and their sisters and their aunts. I made them personally. I made some of them seven or eight times, but we had a couple of parties where all of us made different versions and tried them.
Were the recipes written like the way my grandmother wrote them? Like, do this until it looks right.
Yeah. In fact, Jeff Daniels, who's on this with the tomato pudding recipe, he was going to actually give us the slip of paper that his the recipe was originally written down on, but then when we were putting the book together, he couldn't find it.
Did you gain any weight while putting this
book? Oh, yeah, I did. Oh, that's funny you should ask, because I had a physical of, like, a month after this whole thing was completed, and I put on a lot of weight, and it's like, no, I can't eat any of this stuff.
And again, we're talking with Christine Lavin about One Meatball, the album, the cook booklet, and you can see her in concert and find out how at restaurantguysradio.com. There was one that really spoke to me. I actually, one song that really, really spoke to me. I'm in a relationship now.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah, I know. It's great. It's awesome.
Is it serious?
But for
just dumb luck. No,
but
you know, right, even geez. A blind squirrel finds a nut every once in a while, you know.
So,
oh, what a pal.
So you're in trouble with my girlfriend. But in the Match.com years, as I refer to them now, I met a beautiful woman who lives in my neighborhood, and we actually kind of were quite friendly. We went out a number of times. There were no sparks, but I was attracted to her because in her profile, she wrote that she was a vegetarian except for bacon. And she called herself a bako-vegetarian.
Oh, that's funny.
And so when I heard this following song, I had to kill myself. No, when I heard this following song, I actually emailed it to her. Let's listen to the song entitled Bacon.
Animals are people too. What did that turkey ever do to you to deserve to be served like that? Tied up on a platter, think about the life you take. Each time you cut into a big fat steak, only a meanie eats Phil Scalapini. Do you want to live your life like that? No, you can live without veal parmesan, beef bourguignon, chicken tarragon, give up filet mignon. Life will still be sweet if you give up meat, it's easy. You can even try to give up. Bacon. Fried heaven in a pan. Bacon. The taste, the touch, the smell of bacon. I killed a porker with my own bare hands just to get a strip of bacon. Sorry.
I'd kill the porker with my own two hands.
Oh, isn't that a killer?
Can I tell you something?
Great.
I totally agree. I'd kill it. Where the heck did that song come from?
I met Mary Liz at a weekly open mic here in New York at Birdland, a show called Cast Party. But she lives in New Jersey, and she's a mom. She looks like she's really cute. She looks like one of the Desperate Housewives.
Uh-huh.
And I think in some ways she is.
Oh, my God.
She's a fabulous writer. She's writing for the theater. I think that she's going to be like Dorothy Fields in a couple years, you know, who wrote all those songs with Harold Arlen. She's a really fine, fine
writer. Anyone who could write I'd Kill the Porker with My Own Two Hands. You gotta love that.
I was now, like, you know, the classical show tunes.
Do you have a favorite part of this project that you've put together?
Oh, yeah. Well,
what's your favorite part?
My favorite part is Dame Edna.
Oh.
It's the final voice on the record is Dame Edna.
Yeah, how did you work that out? That Dame Edna called and wished you goodbye.
Well, when Dame Edna was on Broadway in 1999, I saw the show 28 times.
28 times?
Yes, I kept all the tickets. That's why I know exactly how many times I
saw it once.
Only once?
And I felt it was a little excessive.
Are you kidding me?
You two are killing me.
You know what? I've seen The Drowsy Chaperone 22 times. That's on Broadway now.
You've
got to see that. Take your girlfriend to that. Oh, my God.
You should take
your girlfriend to The Drowsy Chaperone and then propose marriage to her.
Why don't I take her to the concert of Christine Lavin
Saturday
at the South Orange Performing Arts Center.
No, but Dame, I became friends with Dame Edna. First he thought I was a stalker, and then he realized I was an acolyte. And I emailed
him. The line between stalker and acolyte is very fuzzy.
Thin line, love and hate, stalker.
But I emailed him, and I said, you know, we're doing this project, and it would be so great if Dame Edna put her two cents in it. And so I just wrote a basic script, and he was in London, And he called. He left a message on my answering machine. The funny thing is one of the reviewers heard it, didn't quite understand, and wrote in the review, you know, it's such an amazing project. At the very end, her snooty upstairs neighbor even leaves a message.
It's so uncool to not know who Dame Edna is.
Yeah.
So out there in listener land, if you don't know who Dame Edna is, go Google it. We're going to play Dame Edna's final call on the album One Meatball by Christine Lavin.
Hello, Possum. This is Dame Edna. I'm upstairs in my luxury penthouse, and I can tell you're downstairs in that pathetic little box you call home, slaving over a hot stove and cooking something scrumptious. Mmm, those lovely aromas that keep wafting up to me. Be a darling and bring some up right now. A great big helping for me, of course, and just a little smidge for my greedy New Zealand bridesmaid, Madge. Quick sticks now, Possum, because my inner megastar is hungry and she doesn't like to be kept waiting. Who does, let's face it? Call me old-fashioned. Bon appetit, Possum.
Dame Edna, Christine Lavin.
Yes, to me, that sums it all up right there.
Yeah. Well, when we come back, I want to hear, you actually have your own track on this album as well. You do some singing here on your own. French Toast Bread mm-hmm. Pudding is the song.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the final segment of the show will be devoted to puddings. And,
great.
We'll do tomato pudding, we'll do French Toast Bread Pudding, and then we'll take it out with the song that was the runner-up, if Green Onions didn't get it, what was going to be the Restaurant Guys theme song. Back in just a moment. You're listening to the Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:45.
Economy Paver and Restaurant Supply Company is the oldest dealership in New Jersey. They've been equipping and supplying restaurants since 1932, and they know that to make great food, you need great equipment. You need equipment that doesn't break down, and you can't pay too much for it. Whether you need an emergency replacement or a wholesale kitchen renovation, Economy's knowledge, experience, and integrity are indispensable. Economy Paver and Restaurant Supply is a recognized dealer for all major brands, and they specialize in custom fabrication and ventilation. At Economy, they've got all the tools you need to get the job done, all in one place, all priced right, and delivered to your door. Economy is the only dealer in New Jersey that's been approved for on-site demonstrations of the Rational Combi Oven. The Rational Combi Oven is an innovative combination of convection and adjustable steam oven. It's a powerful and versatile tool in your kitchen's arsenal. They also supply competitively priced paper products and all the non-food supplies every restaurant needs. You can visit the Economy Demo Kitchen on Broad Street in Clifton, New Jersey. You can also visit economysupply.com, then call them at 973-279-5500. That's 973-279-5500.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back. You're listening to the Restaurant Guys, Mark and Francis of Stage Left in Catherine Lombardi Restaurants in downtown New Brunswick. Our guest today is Christine Lavin. Her album and cookbooklet is called One Meatball. You have a couple songs on pudding here.
Mm-hmm.
You have your French toast bread pudding. Where did that idea come from?
It came from an audience member in Dallas, Texas. Before I would sing my song about pet a pan au chocolat, I would say, anybody have plans for breakfast tomorrow? And this woman raised her hand, and I said, what are you having? And she said, French toast bread pudding. I said, oh, my God, could I have the recipe? And she gave it to me, but she didn't put her name on it, so I never caught her name.
By the way, French toast bread pudding is one of the coolest breakfasts of all time.
You can serve it hot, warm, or cold. So it can be breakfast, it can be brunch, it can be dessert. And so for people who say they can't cook, I said, no, you can cook. And this is the only recipe you need for the rest of your life for any kind of a potluck.
But no one can actually cook it as quickly as you can sing it.
Well, that's true, because I love also that you started the night before. I want to do an entire cookbook of overnight recipes, because I'm a type A personality. I'm sure there's others out there.
So why don't we listen to you tell us how to make French toast bread pudding, or at least a portion of it. If you want to know the whole thing, you got to buy the album at restaurantguysradio.com. But here's French toast bread pudding by Christine Lavin.
Who doesn't like bread pudding? Who doesn't like French toast? If you know me at all, you know that I am not one to boast. But I'm going to sing the recipe, the best thing you'll ever bake. Good news, 15 minutes is all the prep time it will take. To make French toast bread pudding, French toast bread pudding, French toast bread pudding. Crack 7 eggs into a big bowl, whisk them all around. Add 2.5 cups of 2% milk, cinnamon finely ground. Half a cup of sugar, 2 teaspoons of vanilla, you're halfway there. That took less time than Donald Trump takes to arrange his hair.
I'm talking French toast, bread pudding, French toast, bread pudding, French toast, bread pudding. Rip up half a loaf of bread, holla, brioche.
Now with this compilation, I mean, is this going to be the first of a series, or?
I'm hoping I'm never going to do another cookbook, but it really was so much work. You guys know what goes into that. There's a lot of musicians who said, "Oh man, I wanted to do this. I said, "You can." Nobody has one cookbook.
Well, but this is mostly you got mostly folk rockers on here. Mm-hmm. There could be the punk rock cookbook, the album and cookbooklet. You know?
Yeah, where everything's burned.
Yeah,
everything's blackened.
Yeah, I like it. And then there could be the classical, like Yo-Yo, and everything could be like beautiful on it.
Well, there's a cabaret cookbook that's being worked on by Jamie DeRoy, who's a producer here in New York, and I'm going to meet with her and help her.
I think that's great.
A lot doing this.
Hey, you know what? Put her in touch with us, because in the cabaret cookbook, they need cocktails. We should put some cocktails in the cabaret cookbook.
Oh, wow. What a great idea. Yeah. I'm making a note right now to tell you this.
Christine, but seriously, I mean, you got like guys like Jeff Daniels and Pete Seeger. Mm-hmm. How did you get these people to do the book?
Well, when I pitched the idea to Appleseed Records, Jim Musselman, who owns Appleseed, said, you know, I think we'd like to put this out, but we'd like you to consider putting one of our artists on it. I said, who? I sort of braced myself. I was like, oh, please, don't tell me it's your girlfriend or something.
Right.
And he said, Pete Seeger. I was like, yeah.
Oh, all right. We'll put him on.
You're like, I've heard of him.
Yeah. And since the opening track was Blueberry Pancakes, he had the song Maple Syrup Time, which made perfect sense. It explains how you make maple syrup. So that's how he got on it. I was thrilled. I adore Pete Seeger. Who doesn't?
Yeah, of course not.
And Jeff Daniels, by the way, Jeff has been writing songs for 30 years. But not performing them in front of paying audiences. He's been carrying his guitar to film sets. He's made over 50 movies. And he's just about to put out his second album called Grandfather's Hat. And I'm thrilled. Jeff credits me for giving him the courage to become a singer-songwriter, because he used to come to all my shows in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and I never knew he was there.
Christine, will you stay with us over the break? We have to take
a
short break, and we're going to take us out. We're going to take you out with the song that was almost the theme for the Restaurant Guys if Green Onions hadn't won.
Oh, I can't wait.
A bottle of wine, a fruit in the vine. When you going to let me get sober? Let me alone, let me go home. Let me go back and start over. A bottle of wine, a fruit in the vine. When you going to let me get sober? Let me alone, let me go home. Let me go back and start over.
Rambling around in the dirty old town, singing for nickels and dimes. Time's getting tough, I ain't got
enough. You're listening to the Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:55. Hey, everybody, welcome back. You're listening to the Restaurant Guys. Mark and Francis of Stage Left and Catherine Lombardi Restaurants in downtown New Brunswick. Our guest today has been Christine Lavin. Christine, thanks for being with us today.
Oh, thanks, guys, very much.
Christine, this is a lot of fun. I hope that people will go see you tomorrow night in South Orange.
Yeah, one of the people in the show, his name is Ray Jessel,
mm-hmm.
and he just put out his first album. It's called The First 70 Years. He's actually 72 years old, and at the age of 70, he decided to become a singer-songwriter.
Are you serious?
Yeah, and he was the last person to collaborate with Richard Rodgers. One of my goals in music has been to cross-pollinate, you know, the folk world and the theater cabaret world, and Ray is one of the most brilliant singer-songwriters that nobody's ever seen, and he's going to be in the show. And Mary Liz McNamara, who wrote Bacon, she's going to be on the show, too. So it's not just me. So if you're curious at all about this project or about these new songwriters, trust me, come to the show.
Well, and you're also talking about, you know, the show, one of the taglines of the show is the finer things in life. The South Orange Performing Arts Center is a brand new state-of-the-art arts center, which has opened this week. It opened with Yo-Yo Ma in their first performance.
I know, so we're hoping nobody spills anything in the lobby when we're eating there.
Yeah. So
you're safe as long as I don't come.
So, be very careful. You don't want to spill anything on the new Performing Arts Center. Christine Lavin, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks, guys. Ciao.
The album and cookbooklet is called One Meatball. The album and cookbooklet you can see here at the South Orange Performing Arts Center. You can find out more about it on our website, restaurantguysradio.com. Hope you've enjoyed the hour listening to the Restaurant Guys. I am Francis Schott.
And I'm Mark Pascal.
We are the Restaurant Guys.
Bottle of wine, fruit of the vine. When you gonna let me get sober? Let me alone, let me go home. Let me go back and start over. Bottle of wine, fruit of the vine. When you gonna let me get sober? Let me alone, let me go home. Let me go back and start over.
dark as the coal in the mine.
Well, I could jump in, I just lay there and grin, cause I got a little bottle of wine.
Oh, a bottle of wine, a fruit of the vine. When you gonna let me get sober? Let me alone, let me go home. Let me go back and start over.
Oh, bottle of wine, fruit of the vine.
Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 12 noon.